seated there. It is great to know that, and I hope it is your, I hope it's more than just a song, that all of your fountains are found in the Lord and in Jesus Christ. Today we resume our summer playlist that we've been going through the summer. Last Sunday, though, we took that break on our America message, but last Sunday was an incredible time together as a community. I want to thank every single one of you that made last Sunday after church, our big picnic, a success. I know that you have a little more space in here this morning, but last week, the attendance here, we estimated about 140 adults at the church picnic, and I think we stopped counting at about 2 million kids. There were kids everywhere. So this morning, we resumed that playlist, and today's selection is a song called titled Perfect by Ed Sheeran. And I know that you don't have much history. If you don't know much history on the song, I was surprised to learn, because I mean, I don't know if I get into these much details with all of the culture that goes around us, but this song was on the top 100 charts for 110 weeks, and six of those 110 weeks it was ranked number one. Let's take a few seconds. We'll listen to the song until we've kind of had enough, and then I'll come back up here.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. Well, I found a girl. Beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. 'Cause we were just kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time. But darling, just kiss me. Your heart is all I own, and in your eyes, you're holding mine. Baby, I'm dancing in the dark with you between my arms, barefoot on the grass, listening to our favorite song. When you said you looked a mess, I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it. Darling, you look perfect tonight. Well, I found a woman stronger than anyone I know. She shares my dreams. Share her home. I found a love to carry more than just my secrets, to carry love, to carry children of our own.
So you can see why that song stayed on the charts for so long. It has such a drawing effect to it. And the lyrics inside of it, if you were to print them out and just read them, there are actually some parts of it that tend to be somewhat wholesome. The perfect wife that this author is speaking of that he found in the song, I do agree. And I think that you could probably too agree that this is an understood that he has found this wife that is not without a flaw. But in a practical sense of application of where he is in his life and what his needs are, this woman that he has found is perfect for him. Everything she is, her character is perfect for him in this life. I also believe that it's a theory of mine. I guess it's part of my thoughts is that this could be challenged in our culture. But here's what I think. So this is my thought, purely part of my opinion. I really truly believe that people want an individual reflected in this song, someone they can be with for their entire life, someone that is that knows them so well, that one person who knows every single thing about them and still likes them. It's a little bit of a joke. It's okay to laugh a little bit about that. I truly think people want that. And in our society lives and thrives. I know that it seems to have a feeding frenzy and get all of its life out of cheap sensuality. Quick satisfaction that doesn't satisfy anywhere with any longevity to it at all. I know that that's what it looks like on the surface, and that's what actually drives so much of media and so much of our entertainment culture. But I truly believe that down deep, almost everyone, even in the midst of that media entertaining industry, that is willing to say they don't want this longevity for the, and trade it for this cheap satisfaction that lasts so temporary. I think down deep they want the person forever. They want that one individual that is just so perfect for right them, for that time. They can be with for the rest of their life. I truly believe they have that at the core of their desire. Now, whether or not they act on that is a different thing, but I truly believe it's something at their core. Does the Bible speak about this at all? Well, the Word of God, there is a picture of such a woman, one that is so perfect for the fitting of the guy that needs her at that time. It's found in the popular book of wisdom titled Proverbs. I've asked you to find chapter number 31. The description of this woman has a tendency to intimidate most women when it should be an encouragement to them. When a woman of today reads this, she might get the impression that this woman found in Proverbs 31 so long ago in ancient scriptures would be a modern day woman who owns Pinterest and all of its ideas. She can own and manage two coffee shops, one in the north end of town and the south end of town, and while she's discipling young girls at both of them to be godly young ladies, she has a house full of kids who obey her and adore her. Everyone that she ever meets is in complete awe of her. I'm telling you that this is what a woman would read this passage of scripture and think. When women would read this today, they would say she doesn't exist, which is true, she doesn't, but if she did exist, I wouldn't even be friends with this woman. So the message inside of us this morning is not an exhaustive commentary on these verses, but rather an overview of some of the content that came out of this passage of Scripture. I'm going to say this a couple of times because I really want you to get it. Today's readings inside the passages of Scripture that we will unfold was written in an original form as actually a poem, even a song. To be sung, a poem to be recited, a poem to be memorized and recited. This woman really, truly did not exist, but more of the aspiration to be a type of person in these areas. So we break them down a little bit, look at some of the verses, and find applications today. So the first thing that I find in this description of these descriptions, there are seven of them, so we can't stay on each one of them very long. This first one is, she is an excellent find. She's an excellent find. Now, just as the singer in the song found this love, a woman that is found to be his perfect bride, so this is also the same connotation that's found in this verse, verse number 10. Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? Major question posed. She is worth far more than rubies, NIV. Now, other translations put the word noble character and translate it to excellent. The Hebrew word for excellent here is the exact same Hebrew word to describe pure, virtuous, noble, strong. You can even find the root word in Hebrew to describe, you ready? A mighty warrior. A mighty warrior used precisely as Hebrew to be a skilled mighty warrior, skilled at fighting. Now, I know where, if you're paying attention to me right now, where all you guys went and where all you wives went, all you guys right now, you just realize that your wife was described as a mighty warrior. You can look at your wife right now and say, remind me not to pick a fight with you. And wives, you can look at your husbands right now and say, just remember, anytime I want to, I can take you out. Amen. You see, the part about this Hebrew word is such a description of this person who is so skilled at what they do. Because why? She's skilled at being a wife and mom. She has the picture and the qualities of moral goodness and qualities as a person. She can be counted on to do what's right. The scriptures in the second phrase goes on to say that this find is so rare that she is worth more than rubies, or even far above the value of pearls in other translations. The writer is giving this the deep implication that finding such a wife is more precious than all earthly things which are precious. You can't forget this. This is huge. She's more precious than all earthly things which are precious. I have a lot of earthly possessions that are precious. You all know some of those, don't you? Some of you that know this story, that when we were moving here in July of 2017, I came early and my wife stayed home to pack the house and move out later. And I got a text that you didn't want to get as a man. When she's packing the house, she found something. And she just had the question mark on it. 13 guns, question mark. I said, baby, not all of those are mine. Some of those are yours. And she said, which ones? I said, anyone you want that you feel like you can shoot. I have, yes, things in my life that are earthly possessions. And this writer of this scripture is saying that this wife that you find is actually more valuable than all of your earthly possessions, guys. All of your accomplishments, all of your achievements, everything that you think you are, the legend you are in your own mind, she is far above all of that. She is so rare that she's far above the most earthly possessions, which leads her to the next, it leads to describe her in the next section of the writing that this writer writes, the second description, she is trusted. We live in a time in which trust is a premium. Trust is a premium. It's a rare find. When you find a trustworthy person, which is hard to find, you certainly know it when you encounter them. And man, are we drawn to them. That's why verse number 11 tells us, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Other translations, if I can call up those again, turn full confidence into the word trust. It's used in the Hebrew connotation of language discussions to feel safe with a person. Totally 100% safe with this individual. The ancient Hebrew saw this woman as a wife who helped the family succeed in their business. She is the wife who kept the family possessions together while the husband would go to the agricultural field or to the marketplace and sell, or even as he had to go to the building shop that he would make the things that they sold as a family. She was a wife who kept everything else together, and she increased those possessions that they had by her own work and her wise management of what she did. Our society, I'll agree, our society has changed a good bit on the exact place of the wife in the home unit. I'll agree with that. So will you. Women are now not just seen as a worker in the home only. That seems to be a foregone conclusion because of what's thrusted upon them. Because a child calls them mom and depends on them to cook a meal and the other 1,000 things they do in a working day, which really never ends, correct? Women contribute to the family with other income outside of being a mom and a caretaker. I think it's great whenever moms are able to devote time and attention to raising those young children to live in a world that is easily entrapping. This idea is that she's a trusted teammate in the workings of the everyday life. This is also leading the writer to give another description, a third one. She is a provider. Those little babies, ring that Babel bell every week. Those little babies are precious. Still, toddlers are awesome. Children are fantastic. They're such blessings, and they're considered angels when they're asleep. I want you to know something, though, whatever happens when they're asleep, all they're doing when they're sleeping, and I know their breathing is a little whisper, and their eyes might do a little twitch, and they barely move in that soft little bed, but all that's really happening is they're recharging their batteries. They're recharging their batteries to drain yours. That's what's happening. Those little angels are going to wake up pretty soon, and they take on a slightly form, a different form than they did when they were asleep as a little angel. Sometimes they've been akin to the dark world, a little bit of a replica of that. At times they've been called that. They're little angels, and you know what? When they do wake up, they require provision and serious amounts of it. They need a mom and a dad to provide the basic care for their very survival. That's why the passage probably reads, she gets up while it is still at night in verse number 15. She provides food for her family and portion for her female servants. You know, getting up early for the Jewish people or the Hebrew people in the ancient times, they did this to get tasks done. But today, getting up early may not work the same as it did then. But the concept is to be pursuit of this, to get alone and set tasks in order to accomplish the work of being a mom and a wife. You should know that this is going to come a lot easier if you can get some time alone with God. It might be tough to find that time, but with God during the day at some point, if you can be alone with God, your power becomes even more amazing because you spent time with the Almighty. According to this passage of Scripture, this woman must have had large responsibility because the Scriptures talk of her providing to the needs of others beyond her children. She could make decisions and she could carry them out for the benefit of others. I mean, in actual reality, providing is a basic characteristic of a somewhat core human nature. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but and not everybody probably has that instinct, but most people have an instinct of care or provision to another human being within their care as an act of nature, humanly speaking. Actually, when we are actually providing for others, can I say this, within the realm of what we can do. I'm not saying that you can meet every single person's need in this world. You can't meet everybody's need that you ever run into. I realize that, and so do you. But the people that are within your sphere of influence, your family, your faith family, and the ones we've been called to minister to, with what we can do by providing for them within the realms of what we're allowed to do, we're actually imitating God. He, as our Father and creator of this world, is a provider. I think it's a wise mom who provides for the needs of her children and not just fixing them a meal or cleaning them or getting their clothes ready for each day, but also to provide structure and discipline to their young little lives, to provide them early with the proper view of who they are is very crucial. The moms might be caught saying, you, my little angel, are not the center of this universe, nor are you the center of this house. That's a wise mom who gets to that core early because of the damaging effects that happen when they do believe they are the center of the universe, how astounded they will be one day when they find the center of the universe and realize they're not there. Providing for them the proper perspective of how they fit into the family unit is huge. And to do this accurately, she has another description given to her in Proverbs. She is prepared. She is prepared. I don't think you'd have any problem agreeing with this. Life can change in a moment. One phone call, one text can change all of your plans for the day. A proper understanding of this, that your schedule can be depleted with one action by those who are in your care, whether they're at the tender age of being provided for, or whether they're at the age that you're still coaching them. If they're in your house and you love them and you've grown them, their actions can change your life in one moment. I think you probably agree there's no possible way to be humanly prepared for everything that could happen. But the passage does render a wording to it when it says, verse number 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Obviously, the wording of the text shows us that the woman's children in Proverbs 31 are clothed to take on the winters that were very, very rare in Palestine, but came at times during a cool rainy season, possibly very rare would it ever get so cold to snow. But if it did, she was ready. And for a Hebrew to read this, it would make perfect sense to them that she wasn't going to allow her household to be unprepared for changing weather conditions, even if it was rare. If we were to apply this for today in our world, it could be more specific about events that happen on a consistent basis more than just the changing of the weather. It carries a fact that she's prepared for the events that are likely. We can apply this to modern day life by just asking moms, what kind of things do you get prepared for? Knowing that there's this high probability of something changing quickly. The phone call from your school, your child has been brought to the principal's office. I don't know what Rosalie said whenever Brady was sent to the principal's office. They didn't call me, they called her. If they had called me, I'd have just said, leave him in there, I'll pick him up tomorrow. You might want to be prepared with some kind of statement. How about this one? Moms, are you prepared to answer those God questions about who God is and what God is like? How about general life questions? What's life going to be like? Prepared for all of those junior high and senior high challenging days. Forget it. There is no way to prepare for those, is there? They just come. How about when it comes time for them to start selecting college career choices and pathways of careers and jobs? Since you'd be prepared to have a wise discussion. The writer continues to build upon this amazing woman by not only writing that she is prepared, but then that she has good character. Another quality that is rare to find. Your notes, when it says she has a good character, it's a quality that's hard to find, and when you do, you know it, because it stands out against the backdrop of a society that has allowed the lack of character to be put on display and is okay with it. But in the verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. This means she's adorned with words like honor, glory, excellency. It just describes her well. Her abilities are effective, and she's found with strength in her inner core when dealing with life situations. When her children begin to stray from her teaching, she has the character to bring them back with discussion and command when needed. She doesn't waver when the strong-willed child brings to the day a vigorous fight to be in charge. You have any of those? Nope, she wins day after day because she knows from where her strength comes from. It's from God Almighty, whom she has constant contact with because she has deep character. When her life is examined by her children, they will not find flawless perfection. They will find a woman who is strong and perfect in the grace and the protection of the Most High Sovereign God, who knows all, watches all, and comes to the aid of all who trust in Him because she has character within Him. And because of character, she teaches others. Women by design are positioned to teach. Paul told Timothy in his letter to him, rely on the older women to teach the younger women how to carry themselves ethically and morally in the faith community of the church, teaching them to love their husbands and manage their houses. Moms are teaching constantly by what they do more than what they say. She teaches others. But words are important. I mean, actions are important, but words are important. It's why verse number 26 says this: she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Some of you know, you've had a little chance to get to know me a little bit. You probably know that I enjoy theological discussions and deep theological issues, and I particularly like the historical approaches to theology. So obviously one of my favorite, I guess you would call it an ancient theologian, would be Augustine. Augustine lived around 350 AD and preached in a place for years and was a preacher and a disciple maker. His previous life was filled with paganism and immoral living. And when he came to Jesus Christ, he abruptly made that change. But he would read through the scriptures before the days of commentary, read through the scriptures before the days of classroom discussions. But he wrote about this very phrase, "She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." He actually wrote a little section in one of his sermons about this. I wanted to quote it to you. Here's the quote. It begins this: "She has opened her mouth with care and imposed order on her tongue, praising creatures as creatures, the Creator as Creator, angels as angels, heavenly things as heavenly, earthly things as earthly, men as men, animals as animals." He continues on, quoting, I will continue to quote him. He says, "Nothing mixed up, nothing out of order, not taking the name of the Lord her God in vain, not attributing the nature of the Creator or the creature to the Creator, speaking about everything so methodically that she doesn't put lesser things above more important or subordinate the more important things to lesser." Sermon 37:23, Augustine. So obviously when we were reading this text, the writer begins to turn his attention of this poem to words. Words are so powerful. Other Proverbs sayings tell us that in words are life and death. The Hebrew word for this phrase drives the readers to picture words flowing from her mouth with wisdom for life. Probably because she knows a thing or two, because she's seen a thing or two, to quote State Farm. Her wisdom comes from a time with God, with an understanding of God's laws. And when she teaches, she does so with such a kindness that draws those who hear to her even more closely. She pays careful attention to how she teaches and when she teaches. There are times when the right words at the wrong time can do more damage than you could possibly imagine. Agreed? There are times when the right words at the exact right times can instruct your children in ways that you still couldn't even possibly imagine. I think probably if we were to agree with ourselves in a discussion today, we see this act as impossible. I mean, who speaks 100% of the time with pure kindness and wisdom? The answer would be no one. But keep in mind, this is an idea to be aspired to, not really an actual person who never makes mistakes. This woman is a rare find and a perfect find that this man has found. And she understands just how powerful her words are. How powerful those words into a little child can create energy and life propelled forward, or who those words can also create damage and downward spiral. When she chooses to instruct, the content of her instruction is laced with kindness. To explain it in more detail, she speaks and teaches from a heart of love and care to show those who hear her connection with God and to them. Today, it would look like the mom who is stern in her teaching, but very loving in her disposition. Like the mom who is firm with her words, but the way they're coming out is a very loving disposition. The children would know and feel the love coming from her, even in times of tough instruction or discipline. So this leads us to the very last description, which is very key because it's so important. She guards her children. She guards her children. I'd like to connect that excellent find to this last connection of the guardian of children, calling upon that excellency of that mighty warrior, that person who is skilled. The implications of the Hebrew text is that nothing is going to get to her children without her being there as a barrier. That's understandable. Moms would do that in a heartbeat. Moms, I can ask you a question. Who told you you cannot be up in your child's business? Did their society say that your child needs to grow up and have an independent life of their own? If the society said that, And I would ask you this question, that are your children supposed to have a life that you're not aware of? Most of you would look at me and go, say, no, they don't have a life that I'm not aware of, but yet we're demonstrating it over and over again. There are more children are finding themselves with more social media IDs than potholes in Colorado Springs. That is a joke. Maybe not that far off, but it's close. That's a lot. The scripture says, verse number 27, she watches over the affairs of her household. Nothing goes unnoticed in her home. The mom radar is a great tool given by God to protect her children. I believe if a mom is in God's word and she's regularly with others in the faith community, and she has a life of thriving relationship with Jesus Christ, her radar is tuned to high sensitive, meaning she'll know if something looks or feels, a little off. Off from what her teaching has been, directing her kids toward. Assuming she's directing them toward a correct moral life and toward a relationship with Jesus Christ. And before the world can send in a secret message pulling them to a different behavior of one than she's been teaching them, she intercepts that message, reveals it to be the lie that it is. She doesn't sit around idle, the scriptures say, and say, oh, kids will be just kids. There's definitely a time for kids to be just kids. Last Sunday's church picnic was an excellent opportunity for a kid to be a kid. I think I told you this earlier in the message, is that we think we had about 140 adults and we stopped counting about 2 million kids. Kids were running everywhere. You know what I thought it was awesome? It was like some kids showed up in church clothes and left soaking wet from the water thing that we had out there. I thought it was great. It's amazing. Kids were screaming with water on them, screaming in the bounce house, screaming on the new playground, running back and forth. I didn't see a kid held up somewhere with a device latched onto their face. It might have happened. I just didn't see it. But there was so much fun happening. There's a time for a kid to be a kid, and that was one of those times. Then there's a time in which kids are in danger. The Proverbs 31 idea says, I'm the guard. And world, if you're coming after my kid, get ready, because you're about to encounter a mighty warrior who is very skilled at fighting. She guards. Nothing's going to stop her from getting involved in the lives of her children. I think if you're not careful, your child can at an early age be interacting with electronic devices that are capable of opening the world in ways they're not even close to being ready for yet. It brings mom and dad back to the center in position of protector, teacher, guide, authority, and coach. It's where they belong. And I believe it's at that point in time that children's little world is very secure just inside of the big one they have yet to experience. As I conclude this message today, this is something that maybe you had not heard of before. I alluded to it at the very beginning of my message, but I found out some digging on Proverbs 31 was written as a poem or a song, a poem to be memorized and recited, a song to be memorized and sung. Guys, prepare yourselves, buckle up. The next few phrases are highly uncomfortable. Sorry, alert. Men were to recite this poem or sing this song 52 times a year over the women in their house weekly. That's it. I'm out of here, says the guys. That's it. See you. Check, please. Been a great week. In the Hebrew families, men would recite Proverbs 10 to the end of the chapter over their wives, over their daughters, every week. Doesn't sound like a society that has no value of women. I think the Christian world faith highly values women, puts them on the level they belong, powerful, needed, important, loved. In other words, an excellent find. Guys, here's your challenge. This is the one that I told you we're going to get uncomfortable with. Try it if you can, if you're up for it. I don't expect too many of us to try it. I'm still warming up to my own challenge, if I can do this. Starting at verse number 10, you write on a sheet of paper the passage of scripture from your chosen translation, and then you write in your own words what it means. And then verse number 11 from your translation that you pick, and then the words underneath it and what you mean, how you would say those words, all the way to the end. And then remove the translation and merge the words together and read those to your daughters, read those to your wives. It won't show that you're weak. It'll actually show how strong you are. Women, you're the perfect match for your mate, for your spouse. God created you to be exactly what your family needs. And when you feel a little less discouraged or you feel a little overwhelmed, consult Proverbs 10:31. Get the encouragement. It's not a real person. It's who you are. It's who God made you. And when you feel like you can't do the job, just remember there's a sovereign God who knows all, watches all, and comes to the aid of all who call and trust upon him. And that is where your strength comes from. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to gain wisdom and insight from a tremendous passage of scripture, understanding who we are, what we're to do. And Father, may it be said of us that we treat women, ladies in our lives, with proper care, respect, because you designed us that way. May you let us not forget what we've learned here today. Allow us to be an encouragement to others. And Father, we ask for this offering that we take, that it would be allow us to be an impact in this community, that people who do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, will come to know him. Please use us for that. In Jesus' name.